Silent Island by Dana Perry. Read by Norma Butikofer for Saga Egmont. Prologue. It was a beautiful, sunny day on the resort island of Martha's Vineyard when death came knocking at the door. The man who opened it was thinking about all the things he and his family planned to do on their vacation. Go to the beach, ride bicycles, eat seafood dinners, shop for souvenirs and antiques, not knowing that they only had a handful of minutes left to live. The first blow from the intruder was so unexpected that he didn't even have time to be afraid. He was more surprised than scared. But then there was a second blow, and then another, and another. "Why?" he screamed out. There was no answer, only darkness. Then the killer moved through the rooms, doing the same thing to the man's wife, his two daughters, an infant son. 5 people dead. But the nightmare wasn't over yet. There was more death to come on this island. Much more. Chapter 1. My decision to become a police officer was actually made on my 5th birthday. That year, my parents gave me a tiny police outfit as a present, toy gun, badge, hat. There's a picture I still have of me mugging for the camera dressed like that.
"Little Abby Pierce," people used to say. "Isn't she cute? One day, though, she'll outgrow all that and decide what she really wants to do with her life."
Except I never did. In school, all the other girls dreamed of growing up to be Hillary Clinton or Serena Williams or Madonna. Me, I wanted to be Cagney or Lacey. I graduated from the police academy in New York City. I got a degree in criminal justice from Baruch University. I joined the NYPD as a policewoman and later became a homicide detective, breaking a lot of big cases during my time there on the force. And then, for reasons too complex to get into right now, hell, I'm not sure I even understand them myself, I returned to my hometown on the resort island of Martha's Vineyard to become a detective with the tiny Cedar Cliffs, Massachusetts police force. Which is how I wound up sitting here, now, on this day in early fall, talking with Meg Jarvis about how I'd solve the big roadside sign caper case. Meg was the administrative assistant to the chief of the Cedar Cliffs force, and she'd worked there for like a million years. I, like others on the force, turned to Meg for comfort and guidance on a lot of things. Professional stuff, sure, but personal too.
"So it turned out to be a bunch of kids stealing the signs?" Meg asked.
"Homesick kids," I said. In the past few weeks, as kids started heading back to school after the summer, a number of street signs had gone missing throughout Cedar Cliffs and also in towns on other parts of the island. Since the signs weren't worth very much, and presumably had little or no resale value, there had to be another motive for whoever was taking them. And I found it. "It wasn't a crime at all," I said. "Well, not really. Some kids from here going off to college wanted to bring a few things with them to remember the island. That's what I meant about homesick. What better way than to feel like you're almost home than to have a street sign from home in your dorm room? Something that says Beach Street or Ocean Avenue makes you think about the ocean and Martha's Vineyard again. At least, that's what the kids told me when I confronted them about it."
"How did you figure it out, Abby?"
"Hey, I'm a detective. I get paid to figure out mysteries."
"What happened to the kids?"
"I reported them to their parents and put back the stolen signs."
"You could have arrested them."
"For what? Theft?" "Oh, come on. Would you have done that?"
"No, I guess not." She shook her head. "This is quite a come down for you, though. Not long ago, you were on the front pages and all over TV news for catching murderers and sex abusers. Now you're back to bringing street sign stealers to justice."
"Tell me about it," I said. I'd recently been investigating the disappearance of Samantha Claymore, the 16-year-old heiress to the Claymore Cosmetics fortune, and I uncovered a series of murders and sexual crimes against teenage girls in the process of getting Samantha home safely. Like Meg said, that case had turned me into a media sensation for a while. But now I was back investigating the ordinary, day-to-day crimes that happened in a place like Martha's Vineyard. Stuff like stolen bikes, traffic violations, loud beach parties, and squabbles between neighbors. Even something as common in other places.